turn tonight to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And we want to begin our reading at verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. It's a great thing to be stabilized in the truths that are outlined in the book of Romans, and to be able to go back and lay your hands on what these truths say when certain things come to pass and questions are asked that relate in one way or another to these truths. Romans 8, beginning at verse 18, is one of the happiest portions of the Word of God. And yet, in that happy portion of the Holy Scripture, we find three groans. We find a groaning creation. We find groaning believers. And we find a groaning Holy Spirit. Three groans in Romans 8. And yet, it is one of the happiest portions in the Word of God. Notice verse 18. There we begin our reading. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves awaiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, we've read a portion of thy word which speaks of our present hope that we have because we're born of thee, and the future blessing that you have in store for us, with the assurance that all along the way we can know that all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord. In spite of a groaning creation, in spite of believers groaning, waiting for the redemption of the body, and in spite of the fact that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God, he makes groanings which cannot be uttered on behalf of thy people. And we rejoice, our God, in this knowledge. And we pray that tonight, as we study the word together, we who know thee and love thee because of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may rejoice afresh in what our portion is in Christ. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned before, this is one of the happiest portions of the Word of God. Verse 18 declares that there's glory that awaits to be revealed in us. And all creation awaits this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In the midst of this, we have three verses. I mentioned them before. Verse 22, the whole creation groaneth. In verse 23, we ourselves groan. And then in verse 26, likewise the Spirit is helping our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered. So let's look for a moment at the groaning of creation, verses 19 through verse 22. Now that creation as we know it, as we see it, planet Earth, cannot be at rest until the plan of God is fulfilled for those who have been called in Christ to come to the full purpose for which God saved them. And we're awaiting the manifestation of our blessed Lord in His return. For when He shall appear, we shall likewise be like Him and appear with Him in glory. That new life which now lies within us waits for the redemption of the body, and at that time, creation also is going to be blessed with us. You see, it is at that time that we're going to be manifested before the whole universe as the sons of God. And you and I are saved in hope of that glorious resurrection. Now, we don't hope to be saved, but we are saved in hope. For if we're saved, then we have genuine hope. And the hope that the child of God has is that of awaiting the glory that shall be revealed when our Lord Jesus returns again. You know, a few years ago, there's a hurricane coming up. It was supposed to come in and hit Wilmington and then come across North Carolina. But when it got near the coast, it turned and went north. And they showed pictures on television. And as they showed pictures, there was the Statue of Liberty with scaffolding all around it, all the way to the top. It was being refurbished for the 200th anniversary of the United States. Beloved, everything in the world is either scaffolding or it's God's people. God is building a kingdom out of people whom He saves by matchless grace. And there's a day coming, beloved, like happened when Reagan was president of the United States. For there amid the darkness of New York Harbor with a flotilla of ships, he said, let there be light. And there was the Statue of Liberty in all its glory. And you know there wasn't any scaffolding there. All gone. And friends, we're either working on the statue or on building God's program, or we're working on scaffolding. Now, the scaffolding is necessary. The scaffolding is very necessary. And the ongoing of what God is doing around us in the world is all necessary for the working out of the eternal purpose of God, which He purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord. We may not understand it now, but I tell you, there's a day coming, beloved, when we shall be manifested before all the intelligences of the universe, and the Lord Jesus will be able to say, behold, I and the children which Thou hast given me, here they are, Father. Not a one of them is missing. We'll all be there. We'll all be there. And you see, the child of God, therefore, should not be disturbed at the erosion of the fields, at the tornadoes, the typhoons, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, and other tragedies of nature. We should be caring, but it shouldn't disturb us. You see, we're not disturbed by wars, by famines, by pestilence, and other cataclysms which touch the human race. Why? Well, because we know that every one of them is according to the eternal purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And that's according to an all-wise and all-loving Father. When an earthquake of 7.1 2 or 3, whatever it was, or 7 point something that hit Iran the other day, I couldn't help but think, we're pumping oil out of the earth at an alarming rate. If you and I could see them take and fill a 747 jetliner, he takes more than a tractor trailer load of fuel. That all comes out of Mother Earth. And there, I'm convinced that the way we're using fossil fuel, and I'm thinking especially of oil, it's causing the shifts that you have underneath in the earth. And you and I need not get disturbed. We all like our automobiles. We all need to travel by jet. We're living in that age. We're living in that age, and we can't avoid it. We can't avoid it. And beloved, we need not get disturbed. Why? Because we believe concerning the Word of God that the whole creation groans and travails because of man's sin. All creation is suffering because of man. But God is able, He's infinitely able to bring to pass all things according to the counsel of His own will. And when I look at the past, and when I look at the present, I can't find one mistake that God ever made. And that gives me hope. I remember when the atomic bomb was exploded in 1945. I was sitting at the radio on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock listening to Erling C. Olsen from New York City. He had offices on Wall Street, 120 Wall Street. He preached with Dr. Barnhouse every summer in the Revelation Bible Conference. Erling Olsen made a statement to me, or made a statement on his broadcast concerning the atomic bomb that settled my mind in a wonderful way. He just said this: there has always been a balance in nature. While the atomic bomb and the hydrogen bomb may be exceedingly awesome when it comes to the power to destroy, God is so wondrous that there has always been a counterbalance in nature. There's always been a balance in nature. And you know, that enabled me as a young believer to rest in the God of creation and in the God who redeems His people. But there's not only the groaning of creation, and creation is groaning. There's the groaning of the believer, verses 23 through 25. For it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, when you listen to certain people, the health and wealth people, the charismatics, they usually ask a question that's very cynical, and I've seen a lot of believers hedge and hee-haw around the question. And they usually, when they're talking about the healing of the body, they usually ask the question to those of us who are more conservative and who believe that God doesn't always heal in answer to the believer's prayers. And when they usually say, is healing in the atonement? And they usually turn to Isaiah 53. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know, and which is quoted by Matthew in relation to one of our Lord's healing manifestations. One of our Lord's times. When that question is asked me, I usually say to them, do you know anything that isn't in the atonement? Do you know anything that isn't in the atonement? Why pick just one thing? You see. But the problem is, when does God do these things? You see, I have a body that needs to be redeemed. My spirit and soul have been redeemed by the precious work of Calvary. And I am now living in hope. I have great hope, and hope is a present enjoyment of the future. I have great hope. Why? There's a day coming when I'll no longer have a pain in the back. There's a day coming when I will no longer suffer a toothache. There's a day coming, praise the Lord, when I won't need these glasses. You see, we're waiting. We're groaning as we wait. We're waiting for the redemption of the body. The creation groans for this moment of our Lord's return. Our bodies groan for that moment when he shall come with trumpet sound. The Holy Spirit groans within us while we are waiting for that time when our blessed Lord returns. And everything in history is moving toward that supreme triumph for which we have been created. We were created to be like God. And that day is coming. For our blessed Lord is going to present his people to himself, a glorious church, having neither spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We're going to be like our blessed Lord. Now, when you read 1 Corinthians 15 concerning that truth concerning the resurrection, remember it ends with a glorious triumphant song. The song of triumph in 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto our God which giveth us the victory, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a triumphant song. You see, is there any wonder that the Spirit sings one of the most strategic utterances in 1 Corinthians 15? For you must remember, that is a Spirit-filled song. O death, where is thy sting? For it was given by divine inspiration. But we who are the Lord's, we are saved in hope. We're not saved by hope, you see. And that is so important, verse 24, to see. We know what, as the King James puts it, now we are saved by hope. But you see, we know better than that from other portions of the Word of God. Hope, beloved, is one of the byproducts of faith. Hope is the present enjoyment of the future. So if I want more hope, then I have to have more faith. And how do I get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'll never have more hope if I don't have more faith, and I'll never have more faith if I don't take time out for Holy Scripture. It all comes back to the revelation that God has given us of himself. In other words, when God placed eternal life within us, it was nothing less than the life of eternity that is now to be lived out in time. And we groan as we await the fulfillment of the purpose for which you and I were saved. We were saved to be made like our blessed Lord. Just as a woman, when she becomes pregnant, she lives in hope day by day of that child that's going to be born. She's anticipating that day, and it's a glorious day when that child is born into the family. And we who have the very eternal life of God within us, we're waiting in anticipation of being fully like our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in this state, into this state of hope, that you and I have been brought. Think of it. No wonder when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter expressed this so well in 1 Peter 1:13, where he said to the strangers who were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, as he wrote to them, they were strangers, they were pilgrims, but I tell you, they were the elect of God, for that he says in verse 2. And as such, he tells them in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. Don't sit and mope around. But we are saved in hope. So with that before us, we have the Spirit of God within us. And the Spirit of God groaning, making intercession for us. Now it's a supernatural work of God that any man should admit the results of the fall and the full consequences of the entrance of sin into the world. It takes a supernatural work of God for a man to admit to the doctrine of total depravity. How that man fell in Adam, the fall of man in Adam, is something that man cannot understand and will not understand until his mind is opened by the Spirit of God to comprehend what the Word of God really says in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, we have the doctrine of man's total depravity. In the Sunday school class this morning, I reminded them of the four Protestant nuns. Those of you who were in Sunday school class, how about quoting them? The four Protestant nuns, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he describes, their throat is an open sepulchre. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. I was in the hospital one day to visit a man. His wife was there, sitting by his bedside. And I'm sure he was playing possum because I don't whisper. And I said to his wife, I'd like to come there some night with an open Bible and just sit down and talk to you. She said, I wish you would. I'd like to talk with you. I said, when? She said, any time. I said, then how about right now? And we sat there by the bed. And I took my testament and I asked her to begin reading at Romans chapter 3. And when she got down to that part, the poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The way of peace have they not known? She said, I'm rotten through and through. I said, that's right. That's what God says about you, and that's what God says about me. And that showed me that God's doing a work in that life. And it gave me encouragement to go on and tell her about the remedy. Man is totally ruined in sin. And that's what Romans 8 is stressing. But we have a perfect remedy in the person of Christ. And you and I, whose eyes have been opened to behold the truth of God, I tell you, the work of the Spirit of God in opening our eyes to admit how awful we really are. You see, This is a total depravity and total inability to do anything for ourselves or for creation in which we live. You know, we can have Earth Day 365 days of the year. Instead of one day a year and have the news commentators talk about it. And I believe that we shouldn't close our eyes to what we're doing to the environment. I don't believe that. I believe we should do the best we can to keep things going. But beloved, in spite of it all, we have more cars today spewing out their fumes. We have more airplanes today spewing out their fumes. You see, we want all the blessings, but we don't want the byproducts that come with them. So therefore, what do we have? We have man's total inability. We find man is totally unable to do anything about cleaning up creation. And we find man totally unable to do anything about his own salvation. He is totally depraved in creation and he's totally depraved in nature. You see, Paul, in his problem with a thorn in the flesh, he prayed that God would remove it. But God said, Paul, there isn't a doctor that can cure you. I've given it to you. I've given it to you. And I've given it to you lest you should be puffed up with all that has been revealed to you. But remember this, my grace is sufficient. And the grace of God is the only answer to the problems of creation, to the problems that anyone faces. They're answered in the grace of God. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You see, Paul, for Paul's weakness, his thorn in the flesh, we see Christ perfecting himself within the background of Paul's weakness. So here in our text, the Holy Spirit is seen helping our infirmities, our weaknesses. And he's making intercession for us according to the will of God. Did you ever think of what the Holy Spirit is doing for us? All the things that he's doing for us. Let me list a few of them. First of all, we're born of the Spirit into the family of God. For we have to be born again. And unless we're born again, we're not in the family. No one can live before they're born. Physically or spiritually. It's just impossible. And then the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, the church. And then the Spirit of God indwells the child of God. And it's because of that sweet indwelling of the Spirit of God that he intercedes for us according to the will of God. And our bodies, because of his indwelling, become the temples of the Holy Spirit. And then we are sealed by the Spirit, and that means divine ownership, according to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. And then more than that, it's impossible. It's possible for us as believers to be filled with the Spirit for all our needs of companionship, of guidance, and fullness of blessing. The Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So we need to apply this truth. Three ways. Application number one. Number one is our present hope and future blessing is very practical. It's very practical. the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. In spite of faith and our calling, we're yet so often troubled with infirmities. We're troubled with them. But then there's also we're troubled by our ignorance. We're troubled by our conscious failures. I don't know if you ever fail, but I fail continuously. And I'm very conscious of it. I'm very conscious of worldliness in my own life. And yet I'm instructed, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm very conscious of selfishness. It's so easy to be selfish. I'm so very conscious of deadness, even though made alive in Christ. I'm very conscious of inconsistencies in my life. I'm very conscious of faintings. As we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, and yet I faint often. And I'm very conscious of it. But this portion is a happy portion. Why? Because the work of the Spirit is so practical. Because against all these things, the Holy Spirit teaches us that the balance of strength is in Christ. His fullness against my weakness and emptiness. All the grace that is in Christ against all the need that I find in Philip. Ah, friends, this is practical. This is our present hope. And our present hope looks to where I'm going to live the rest of my life in the future. It looks to the future blessing. So that brings us to application number 2. Our present hope and future blessing gives us genuine assurance in the midst of infirmity and groaning. Romans 8:1. In spite of infirmity, the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. As Wesley's last stanza of that hymn says, no condemnation, now I dread, Jesus my Lord, in thee I find. See, the triune God knows all about me, and he's acquainted with all my ways. That's a comforting truth. He knows all the things about me I don't care to admit. Might as well admit them, because God knows it anyway. And he's going to bring every work into judgment according to the book of Ecclesiastes. He's not going to bring our sin. We're not going to be judged for sin. Our Lord was on the cross. But he's going to review our lives at the judgment seat of Christ. And happy the person who learns that in time. You see, now we may take comfort from the fact that the Holy Spirit is not dwelling within us as a spy. He's not spying on us that he can report. He's not saying, Gabriel, he did it again, get the club. That isn't the God that I know, and it isn't the Spirit who dwells within. Very compassionate. Friends, he's not within us as a spy to discover our infirmities. He knows them. You see, but he also knows something else. He knows that Christ died for us. He knows that we have been redeemed with precious blood. And he knows that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He's within us as God's bookkeeper, reminding us of our credit balance and the inheritance that's ours. Beloved, I have a credit balance in the presence of God. And I tell you, I haven't even hardly spent any that God has placed to my account. Application number 3. Our present hope and future blessing is assured to us by the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit. Think of this. I may pray for you, and I do, but my prayers may not be answered. But I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit's prayers that He prays, every one of them will be answered. He's praying as a member of the Godhead. And He's praying according to the will of God. And the will of God is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect, and it will never be thwarted. It can never be. So that Blessed One, who indwells every child of His, every one of them, the Spirit of God makes intercession for them according to the will of God. Now, knowing this, it enables us to pray, and it enables us to pray with assurance. Let me quote a verse, two verses. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. Now we all know 1 John 5:13. See, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We all know that verse. But the next verse says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. The Holy Spirit never asks for a thing for Philip that's out of the will of God. It's always according to His will. So He says, if we ask according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I'd like to ask you a question. It's a very practical question. I've experienced this, and that's why I can ask it. I'd be scared to ask it if I hadn't experienced it. Have you ever been in prayer asking God for something that you knew that you had it long before you ever got the answer to your prayer? That's assurance. You knew when you were on your knees in the presence of God, this is the mind of God. And you can just rest and wait for it to come to pass and smile in the meantime, knowing that God is in control of all things. That's why Romans 8 verse 28. You see, it's just the opposite of Romans 8:27. Now, it's in full coordination with it, but in Romans 8:27, we find that there's something we don't know. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But Romans 8 says, we know that all things do work together for good to them that love God. How do we know? Because the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Beloved, God is sovereign. You know what we mean by that? We mean that God can do anything He wants to do, anytime He wants to do it, wherever He wants to do it, however He wants to do it, and with anyone He wants to do it with. That's the sovereignty of God. Our God is sovereign. His will is eternal. He will bring to pass the counsel of His own will. So we can say, Lord, now we sing this occasionally, but we can sing it and mean it. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move. Take my feet. Take my silver and my gold and all the things that are in that hymn. Why? I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Beloved, you and I have been blessed with a salvation. We have a security that secures. We have a salvation that truly saves. We have a redemption that truly redeems. We have a reconciliation that truly reconciles, because we are united to the God of the universe. Did you ever think, when you pray and you say, Our Father, that the one who spake and created every planet, that comet that we looked at the other Sunday night after church, or Wednesday night, whenever we could see it so plainly, He created that. He created the world that we live in. He put all the oil in the earth, the coal, and everything else. He did it all. And yet, when I say, Our Father, He's interested in listening to little me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who can comprehend the provisions that God has for His people? I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. May the Lord bless His word. Let's pray. O God, our Father, our hearts are filled with joy when we think of the revelation of Yourself. For only You could do and perform what is written in Your word, and part of that assurance and comfort that You give to Your people is this sweet revelation of Yourself and the redemption that's ours in Christ. O God, our Father, take this word, bless it to every heart, for Jesus' sake. Amen.